Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So I think we've solved our technology problems, I hope. So far this morning, we are working live both on my personal page and in Bethany Church of God. And soon, many of you might have gotten an invitation from me for Bethany Church of God public page. In about 30 to 60 days from now, once Facebook allows us, we'll start using that for advertisements and postings and all of the service that will go to Facebook Live under Bethany Church of God public page. There we can do advertisements and a lot of other events, but so far the morning service has worked. Right now we're posting live, so if you happen to go there and look, we're live both on my personal page and under Bethany Church of God. So both are working right now, and we hope that they'll continue to work. We found a program that works for both. We've hopefully solved our technology issues. Pastor Brent Beggs, hats off to him. He came over and gave us a hand this week, and we've done a couple of things, so we're just grateful. So it works, and I can take that off of my plate and leave it alone. But we're going to worship the Lord. I picked a song for us to start with. It's called Open Up the Heavens. So if you want to stand or sit, whatever you're comfortable with, let's open up the heavens and let the glory ring.
Yeah.
God, your glory today. Father, as you fill this place with your presence, God, we pray that the Holy Spirit would just envelop us, God. This is your house, Father, and we are here to worship you. And we pray that you will open up, God, our hearts, our lives, our minds, our eyes, all that we have, God, that we may worship you. May we see you in all your glory. We give thanks and praise to you. In your holy name I ask it. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Well, it is Valentine's week, so Random Acts of Kindness week. We're looking forward to that. Starts the week of 9th through the 15th. And set aside Random Acts of Kindness Monday, February 17th. So if you find someone, bless them. Bless them and fill them. What's next? Evanswood today is having a Super Bowl party. I'll be trying to sleep so I can work tonight, but it kicks off at 6:30. So if you're welcome to go, bring a friend, bring a game, fun.
5:30. For getting there and getting situated.
Yeah.
The game and kickoff is at 6:30.
So. Yeah, I know they're having all kinds of food and stuff, so if you know where Evanswood is at, it's on Square Lake Road between John R. and DeQuinder. It's on the north side of the street, about halfway down in between John R. and DeQuinder. So if you want to join them, they'll have the fellowship hall set up with a big screen and watching the Super Bowl. Our Lions are not there, so I don't really care if I watch it. That's just my opinion, but I don't care for either team. But you can go watch the Super Bowl, go and have some food if you'd like. That's going on. What's next? Women's Bible study is continuing on at Hope Crossing. We're studying the book of James, right?
Right, we're in the last chapter this week, and then we're going to discuss what we do next.
Okay, well, that's going on at Hope Crossing. You're all welcome to attend that. No dinner or Bible study this week. We're going to resume the next week after. My dear wife is having surgery sometime Wednesday morning. Rotator cuff, so that'll be fun. She'll be one-arm bandit for a couple of weeks, but be in prayer for her. That's Wednesday. Men's breakfast is coming up the 15th at Hope Crossing. We'll be there, and I hope I can make that as well for 9 a.m. Just a great time of fellowship. They usually have about 15 to 18 guys, so you're welcome to join if you can make it there at 9 a.m. Hope Crossing for the breakfast. What else? Family game night. Evanswood is doing one a month, and they're having that, so that's coming up. You can mark your calendars for that. Anything else am I missing there, John? No? So just a heads up, we are working, Brent and I are working together. We scheduled a gospel concert on August the 2nd. More will come out. It will be here at Evanswood. Here at Bethany. It will be here at Bethany. It will be a Saturday evening 5:30 concert. Our hope is that we will have backpacks and newer used coats. Brent and I are working together so that we can do a dual coat closet. Bethany and Hope Crossing are going to celebrate together. He has a coat closet already. We're going to be an extension of that so we can cover both sides. We'll start collecting new and used coats in preparation for the even now or in the fall coming up. We're also going to work together to find an elementary school or a junior high school that we can bless with backpacks. So the church is going to do the concert, and those that are arriving, we're hoping that we'll either bring a backpack donation or a new used coat. So that's coming up in August. We're trying to work together to do all kinds of neat things for the community, but we are starting to put some activities together for the summer to keep us investing and working together. What else do I need for the life of the church? It seems like there's something else I should be talking about.
Easter flowers.
See, I didn't do it this time. I just want you to be aware of it. It wasn't me. Because Stanley usually tells me, I'm the guy who's kind of pushing this stuff forward. I didn't say a word this time. It's my wife. But yes, when you're going out to buy your Valentine's flowers for that special person or whatever you're doing, get ready because we're going to start doing Easter flowers. And a reminder, we will be doing Maundy Thursday will be at Hope Crossing, and our Good Friday service will be at Hope Crossing. and that's going to be at 2 o'clock. So hopefully you can mark your calendars. They have a great group there, and we're going to celebrate together. For whatever reason, Brent and I have just begun to do some things in the community, and we're trying to link together Bethany and Hope Crossing so that we can do a greater influx in Sterling Heights. So I'm sure you'll see more coming up with some of the stuff that we're doing. And the public page, pretty soon we're going to put advertisements in it. We're going to put Bethany on the page so that we can start advertising to the community and people around us. We had a new person this morning, so some of the stuff is working. Our 9:15 had a visitor with us, so that's a blessing from God. We'll continue to just talk about it a little bit so that you guys are aware of all the things that are going on. All right, we're going to worship the Lord. A couple of songs in this one that you know. One of them is Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. And the other one is Power in the Blood. So I know you know those two. If you're free to stand or sit, however you're comfortable, let's worship the Lord. Before we go to prayer, please remember the needs. And I want to celebrate, but tell you about the needs. Suzanne is in the hospital. She's had a lymphoma. I wasn't able to get the prayers out last night for that because Shirley is sick. She had some injections in her eye Friday, and she is not feeling very well. Her vertigo has just given her a fit, so she is at home. We need to keep Suzanne, Shirley, her daughter Lori, who is having kidney surgery next Friday. We need to keep her daughter-in-law Kathy, Beth in prayer. Judy and Jackie, and a multitude of needs that are out there for us that we need to pray about. So just as I posted yesterday, I only put their first names. I'm asking you to pick a name. Put somebody before the Lord. Be a prayer warrior that God will do something great in your life. Let's praise together. Power in the Lord.
But now I see.
Just something simple, God, that my life has been changed and forever changed because of the power of your name. God, and I pray that for people of God, and Father, if there is something holding us back today, if there is something that is attached to us, if there's something in our life, God, that keeps us from being all that you have called us to be, if there's something, God, that keeps us from serving you to the fullest, God, I pray this morning that you will break it free from us. That just like Paul and Silas in the midnight hour, God, they were bound by the enemy. And God, they began to worship you in spirit and truth. They began to worship you from the depths of their life. And Father, you broke them free from the oppression, from the people that had bound them, God, from the enemy. But you set them free. God, it was the power of your name, the power of your resurrection. God, I know that many of us, there's depression, there's mental illness, there is sickness, there are things, Father, in our life. God, Holy Spirit, even as we are in this place, even as we witness and testify to the power of your name, God, I pray this morning that you would come rest on us. God, even as the Spirit moved across the water, even as the same Spirit that took the bones together and breathed life into them, even as you breathe life into the human beings that we are, God, from the very book of Genesis, come rest on us. Father, may your Spirit that is in this place begin to move on the people of God. Father, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to sense the very needs that we talk about. Suzanne, Shamus, Shirley, Lori, the Kathy, Beth, the Roxanne who's at home, Judy and Jackie. A multitude of needs, God, that I can't even begin to name them all. Come rest on us. And Father, I pray for the sickness. Pray for your healing. Pray for your resurrection power. And God, I pray for the anointing. Father, when the enemy wants to bind up our minds and our hearts, bring freedom, Holy Spirit. And Father, let us breathe in the breath of God. Let the power of your presence anoint the people of God. Holy Spirit, you are in this place. Father, I sense even your moving right now. God, I pray that you free our minds. God, I think about Gary's neck this morning, Father, and I reach a hand out. God, I pray that you will anoint his neck. God, the issues that he's having with the movement, the pain, the discomfort, Father, that you would just anoint it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ right now. Father, my hand is extended towards Louis this morning. God, I know the weight that he is carrying more than I can even imagine. But anoint him this morning. Give him, Holy Spirit, your peace. May the same power that we speak move from his life to Suzanne's life. God, we anoint them both in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for Shirley this morning. God, that you would begin to heal her throat and her lungs, heal her eye, renew reduce the vertigo, Father. For Kathy, who's going through treatment. For Beth, who's preparing for surgery. For Lori, who has upcoming surgery. For Judy and Jackie. For the multitude of needs this morning, God. Anoint them in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, there is a multitude of people watching far and near. I pray for that same anointing of Mark and Brent and Tom. There's a lot of things going on in the world around us. Father, I pray for your movement here right now. Oh God, as we worship you. Oh God, as you begin to unleash the chains that hold us and pour into the power of God into our life. Holy Spirit. God, today. God, pour into the people of God in such a mighty way, God, that you begin a tiny spark. Father, that you begin to set our spirits and our souls on fire. God, that you begin to move from the bottom of our feet to the top of our heads. God, that you begin to well up inside of us a mighty moving of the power of God. That it begins to be displayed in the power that you begin to set us, God, on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. That, God, we will announce from the rafters and from the rooftops, our God is not dead. He is alive, and he is well and moving in this place. Holy Spirit, let us speak to you now. Father, let us. Souls be laid at your feet. Whatever's keeping us back, Father, I pray for the enemy now who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And I pray, God, that you would attach us to the vine. You would move into us. And you've chosen us, God. Redeem us this morning. Lift us up. Oh, God, we thank you for what you are doing. Thank you, God, for all this in the power of your holy name. Even as I pause, since we're not done yet. God, just have your way. Have your way in the quietness of this moment. Before I even begin to speak, Father, move in the life of people. God, I know that you're speaking in my heart right now. I pray that people receive. Appreciate the fact of God's presence in this place. We're going to explore a topic. Put the title up for me, John. We are called. Some years ago, hard to imagine 42 years ago. Where's the time? I remember being a little kid, a snot-nosed kid in Pentecostal Church in North Carolina. And I sensed at that time God was calling my life. That had nothing to do with it. I've shared with you that before I ran. I heard the word and I said, no, God, that's not what he's doing. I wanted to be a doctor. I had all my plans in place. Challenges laying before you, my dear. Trying to determine where God is leading you. I remember being in that place and saying, no, God, I'm not doing this. I got my own plans. I know where I want to go. I know what I want to do. Here I am, 42 years later, right here, doing what he wants me to do. Sometimes our hopes and dreams are fulfilled in doing what he wants us to do and where he wants us to go. So at that time, God laid a passage on my heart in John chapter 15. It's been a passage that's carried me all my life. Now, we're not going to study that today, but I want to share it with you because it has a lot to do with Isaiah's chapter 6. And in John chapter 15, Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. How do you feel about that? Because he doesn't say, you chose me, but I chose you. I called you. I know you. I know you by name. And I know what you're going to do. I know the plans before you, Jeremiah said. But in John 15, he just finished a whole chapter about being the vine and the branches. Finish the chapter talking about being attached to the vine and what God is doing. He tells him in this closing section, he says, I chose you and appointed you to go and produce fruit. Now we think about the choosing of God, and we often think of pastoral ministries. Yes, it was instrumental in my call, and God choosing me to do the work that he called me to do, but God has chosen you. He's chosen you to go and do a work. Whether that work is with homeless, whether it's in college, whether it's in physician's office, whether it's in physical therapy, whether it's in fixing a machine, whether it's in being in the community, whether it's driving people around, whether it's working on a computer, whether it's celebrating with people, God has chosen you and I. And every day, we have a unique opportunity in that choosing. We have an opportunity to celebrate God in our life. The question is, will you go and bear fruit? Will you accept the call? We are called. We are called to shout from the highest rafters that he is Lord. Christian Harfouchet writes, men and women from every walk of life, you are invited to accept the call and make your calling and your election sure, that you may not be unchosen, but chose to be chosen. Now that's a play on words. Choose to be chosen so that I may use you with the rest that have been called to be the tip of the spear. The tip of the spear in penetrating and piercing very obstacles that are working diligently to contain and hinder. Final outpouring through the efforts and diligence of humanity. It goes on to say that we are perfect in our conversations, that we should remember what the message is about, where we are found, and the idea of speaking the word. You know, oftentimes, we can speak the word in volumes more than what we say with our own lips. In the book of Isaiah, he has a wonderful opportunity. Isaiah is commissioned in chapter 6. Now, interestingly enough, the first five chapters of Isaiah are a forerunner of what's taking place. When you read the book of Isaiah, you wonder why not give Isaiah the call in chapter 1. God is setting into motion the events as to why Isaiah needs to be called. I apologize, my ears are, for some reason, my aids are not working very well. They're going in and out. So if I look out, I'm trying to get this straight. I apologize for that. But Isaiah is prepared. God is preparing the foundation. And in choosing you and I, God prepares the soil and the foundation of what you're going to do. He knows where you're going to go tomorrow. He knows what you're going to do today. He knows who you're going to encounter, and he knows how you're going to encounter with him. He knows how you're going to represent it, whether you're going to be full of energy or angry and hangry. Maybe you haven't had your donut yet, and you're a little hangry. But Isaiah prepares the people of God. The beauty of it is, he knows what we're going to do. And in this passage, let's stand together and read what Isaiah is experiencing. In chapter 6, verse 1 through 13, and it's found on page 1068 of your large print Bibles. It'll be up here for you to read. In verse 1, he said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple." Now, it's not every day you get a vision from God and you see God in the temple. Above him were two seraphims, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying. Six wings. Beautiful picture. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. You know, we believe the Holy Spirit's in this place. God began to shake the foundation of this place, and the seraphim began to fly around. And God begins to want to move and touch, and the train and the smoke begins to fill the temple. Many of us would be like running. We would run at what we were seeing. Isaiah said, "Woe to me, I cry, I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphims flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. When he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And he said, "Here am I, send me. You have been called." He said, "Go and tell the people, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people callous, make their ears dull, and their eyes closed. Close their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Then he said, "For how long, Lord? Till the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remain in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth breath and the oak leaf stumps, where they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." And God have a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. What a vision. We are called. Maybe not in the pastoral role, maybe not in the preaching role, but the truth of it is, every one of us has been called. Every one of us, he knows by name, he has given us a role, he has given and should pour into us a passion and burden for the lost and weary, to reach the lost, to tell the story, to be an advocate for change. Well, that's a new term today. An advocate for change. To give cheerfully. Ooh, that's even more powerful. We talk about giving to the church. Oh, wait a minute. You want my money? No, I'm not asking for your money. I'm asking you to give to give of yourself, to give of your time, to give of your benefits, to give of your heart, to give of your life, to know His love, to find His peace, to become a new person, to live life to the fullest, and then let nothing stand in your path. To know that He is with you, and the journey is not too hard. To know that when I face a mountain, I can take the first step, and God will begin to crumble the mountain down. When I'm in the valley, to take a hold of His hand, and He will lift me up beyond the valleys, and He'll set my feet on the solid rock. To know that every man, Spurgeon says, needs to abide in the calling wherein he is called, and that this call to devote himself to the ministry of God, and Paul said that we must walk worthy in the manner in which He has called us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. The doctrine of calling is about the faith of God. To know in the context that I must be a powerful agent for what God is calling me to do. And to experience the power of His change. And to know that every day is a good day. To know the power of His resurrection. That I can live to the fullest. And all the things that I can throw off, and I can run the race that is set before me with the power, knowing that He humbled Himself and went to the cross and died for you and I, that we have been called into the power of His name. I'm telling you, Isaiah talks about an experience. He experiences a powerful vision. If you read the story, Isaiah is about doing the work of God, and God calls him out. He begins to see this seraphim, this angel, or this vision, or this flying being with six wings. What happens is two are covering his feet, two are covering his body, the other two are flying around. God sees us exactly the way we are. We don't know exactly what the seraphim is, if it's an angel or if it's wings, but God gives Isaiah a vision, and this being is moving around. God knows us exactly the way we are. God came to Isaiah in the midst of turmoil. King Uzziah had just died. He might have been a good king in the time of his land. But Isaiah came and saw a vision. The vision of God was real. He was around the temple, continuously praising God. He said, "I saw Yahweh seated on the throne, high and exalted." Bible doesn't say if anyone can see the Lord face to face. We know that. But Isaiah actually saw was not the face of God, but the back of God. Isaiah saw that figure. The hem of his royal robe and the train of God was massive and it filled the temple. And he heard the seraphs flying around with the six wings. Now, literally, the transliteration of the Hebrew, it means some fiery being. We don't know if it was an angel or what it was. But the remarkable thing is that the wings covering their feet and covering part of them and then able to fly, what Isaiah saw was this seraph understanding the nakedness that we have. Now, we don't like to think about that, but just imagine these beings are flying around and all he can hear is, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Some thought it was a triple proof of the Trinity, but that's not the purpose of what Isaiah heard. He heard the holiness of God and the demand of God that the whole earth be full of His glory. You know, everywhere you go, you have an opportunity to see the glory of God. Do you see it in the people next to you? Do you see it in the people of God around you? God says the whole earth is full of His glory. It can be in the darkest valleys. God can begin to open up out of the darkness and bring light. No, we don't see God in people, do we? That's hard for us. We see them the way they are in our humanity. We see them. Maybe they're not dressed real well. One of our team leaders the other day, I was laughing with her. I said, "What's the deal? Can't you buy any pants without holes in them?" One day she came in with two holes in them. The next day she came in with four holes in them. I said, "Hey, do you want some money? I'll help you buy some pants if you need them." "Well, I give it all to my grandkids." You see, we see things in a different light. We look at people that might be disheveled. Maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe their hair is not done up the way you thought it should be. Maybe their clothes are a little wrinkled like they've had a rough night before. And they're coming to us and we see them. And we make judgments on what we see. But God sees. Hear me out, folks. God sees beyond the external. God sees into the life of people. And we need to see the whole earth is full of His glory. And God reminds us that in the call, we are called to go to people no matter what they look like externally, because God sees the power that can be displayed in their life. We love to make judgments about people. Isaiah recognizes, he says, "Woe to me, for I am ruined." What Isaiah saw in the power of God's presence is that he is not worthy. The worthiness of God comes from the anointing of God upon our life. Notice that when Isaiah recognizes that he is a man of unclean lips, he recognizes the environment in which he is in. He recognizes that the world needs to hear God. Don't we know that today? The people around us, the whole earth needs to hear God. God begins to touch Isaiah's lips. And then the power of that message, what an experience! Isaiah is anointed with burning coal, and he's changed, literally changed. He is redeemed, and God anoints him to follow him. And the voice is right after me. He says, who shall I send? Who's going to go for me? Isaiah does what many of us are told not to do. Never volunteer for anything. You laugh. That's true, right? Be careful what you volunteer for. Be careful what you sign your name up to. You know, the service is looking for a few good men or women. Careful what you sign up for. Isaiah, right away, raised my hand. Here, my Lord, send me. I'd be like, no. In my call, it was like, no, God, I'm not going. And God says, yes, you are. No, I'm not, God. I don't want to go. Yeah, you are. A thousand sermons have been preached on the facts of the words and experience. I have to tell you, what an experience. What did you experience with God? Have you experienced an epiphany with God? An experience of God's outpouring in your life? What has God done in your life? I remember the day that I accepted God. I remember the church. I can tell you what it looked like inside. I went there. I sat in the back corner over there, almost where Louie's at, in the back. I didn't want to be seen. I was 13. I didn't want nothing to do with this. They're dropping me off at church and putting me in a place. I didn't want anything to do with the church. I hadn't gotten my call yet. It was about another year or so later. But I remember being in the church. I was in the back corner. The preacher was like, he was giving an altar call. Because, you know, we did that in that day. We did altar calls. We brought them up to the front. We prayed for them. We anointed them with the power of God. And a preacher was inviting everyone to come to the altar. I'm like, dude, I can't sit here. Everybody in the church is going up there. So what do you think I did? I walked up there. I don't know what I'm doing here. Okay, I'm going to go up front. I was feeling a little embarrassed that everybody else is up front and I'm sitting in the back. You know, you have one of those epiphanies where it feels like everybody's watching you. You know, they made that song, "I Feel Like Somebody's Watching Me." Right? I felt like all eyes were in the corner. Everybody's moving and I'm sitting there going, "I'm not moving, God." Well, God said, "Yes, you are." And I got up and moved, and I came to the right side of the church on the right altar. And I knelt down. Why in the world I did that, I have no clue. I knelt down at that altar, and I remember kneeling there going, "Okay, what am I doing here?" I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what I was doing. And all of a sudden, somebody touched me. Pastor in the church came over and said, "Son, what are you doing here?" I said, "I don't know." "What do you want from God?" "Nothing." God. Pastor Peterson was there, and I remember his name. You might know the name. Pastor Peterson touched my shoulder and said, "Son, what do you want from God?" I said, "Nothing. I don't even want to be here. I don't know why I came up here." He said, "Well, let me tell you something. Do you know Jesus?" "No, I went to church when I was a little kid. Mama dropped me off there, and that was it. It was the old Faith Temple Church of God, and I remember going when I was in sixth grade, sitting in the front row, right side. And I lost away from God." He said, "Do you need to know God?" I said, "I don't know who God is." We must have this conversation, which went on for moments. He began to break open. Hear me, church. He began to break open a little kid. He began to break through who I was. And I'm telling you, on that day, that morning, I experienced an epiphany from God. Now, God came into my life, and it wasn't like everything was all fuzzy and hunky-dory. I had a lot of growing to do. I had a lot of things to go through in my life. I had a lot of things I had to let go of. I had a lot of growing that I needed to grow in my life. But I'm telling you, I experienced God in a moment. Now, that was significant in my life, and he poured into some snot-nosed little kid who was hung up on drugs and alcohol and trouble. I was in trouble, and I was headed down to a path that wasn't very good. And it didn't get any better with family that was all over the place. And it didn't just miraculously come great, but God began to grow, and I got involved in the church and got moving. And God began to do a work in my life. And several years later, in the midst of a youth group praying in a church for people's lives to be changed, God changed my life. And I can tell you about the story because I experienced the power of that change. I can tell you about Isaiah's story, but I know what he did in my own life. And I can tell you about this whole idea that Isaiah talks about, the cleansing of the soul and spirit. God began to anoint my life. God began to anoint Isaiah, and God began to put a call on his life. God cleansed his life and changed him from the inside out. And God began to move into him a message that he had to deliver to the people. See, God drives an experience in the depths of our life, and we may not recognize the power of it. Maybe we've been saved for 20 years. Maybe we've been petrified for 35 years. But it's time that God begins to move in the depths of our life. The experience of God's anointing, the change that happens in our life, and allow God to begin to root something that begins to grow out of the depths of who we are, and begins to anoint this person we call me, and change us that we become the power of God's word. When you experience an encounter with God, it is like a burning coal that is taking from the fire, and it is the angel of God anointing you. That doesn't mean everything's going to be rosy, but God begins to work in your life. And Isaiah began to experience the righteousness of God, the acknowledgement that I need God. It is like 1 John 1:9, which says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just enough to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Where Paul in Romans said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that I must confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord, and I will receive his salvation. It is that same experience that Jesus signified through his death and resurrection. It is like the whole coal coming off the altar of God, that the cross became the way of cleansing, the way of atonement, that when he left the cross, he made a way for you and I. He broke the veil in the temple and said, now come to me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he said, take this anointing from me, that I may change you from the inside out, that your soul and spirit may be on fire for God. Wow. To understand the call of God on our life is to understand all it takes is just, yes, Lord, yes. And the beauty of it is that cleansing power. And then to know Sarah springing the coal with the tongues, not because it's hot, because it's holy. It comes from the altar of atonement and sacrifice. It is almost like taking one of the spikes
out of the cross and finding the anointing on your hands and your feet to symbolize the power of his change. The only power that can come from cleansing and same power that we sang earlier today that raises Jesus from the dead. It's the same power that anoints and brings grace and salvation to Isaiah. It is the truth that this open door for Isaiah is the same open door for you and I. He can know and hear God's call because God has opened the doors of his mind and his heart to receive that power. Isaiah's generation was in a turmoil. They didn't know what was coming for them. Isaiah had to preach to them that they were about to go through a time of turmoil, a time of judgment. Isaiah asked the final question in his message. He said, "If I called you, God, how long? How long?" You see, when God said something into your life, somebody asked me the other day, he said, "Pastor, how long are you going to continue to preach?" "As long as I have breath in my mouth." "Will you ever stop being a pastor?" "How could you ever stop being a pastor? How could you ever stop the desire that God has placed in your life? Do I want to leave the work that I'm at and continue this work? Someday I hope to. Will I ever stop? Probably not. As long as I have the opportunity and I have the energy and good coffee to go along with it, I will continue to do what I'm doing because that is the power. Just imagine for a moment what Isaiah experienced. You want to read even more? Look at what Jeremiah went through. Oh, by the way, if you think that's something, think about Ezekiel. Want to talk about a fiery call? The wheels and the chariots and the fire and the spokes? Think about Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. How about Peter, James, John? Oh, if you think that's some kind of call, how about that footloose, fancy-free Paul? The reality is, God is still calling people like you and I. And you might say, "Well, how long? How long, God?" Until you've reached every place that God needs to send you. Maybe a bit much for us to bear. Maybe too much for us to understand. Sometimes hard situations drives a calling. But the final truth of the matter is, you and I have been called. My calling might be a little different than your calling. God may call you to some other place. God may call you to a different people. God may call you to speak through your opportunities. He may call you to speak to people that you work with, people that you deal with, people that you associate with. But God has called you to them. Now, I know the famous idea is that we're called to love everybody. But the truth of the matter is we are called. What is our time frame? As long as we have breath in our lungs. So the final question remains, are you called? Have you been called? What will you do with the calling that God's placed on your life? Father, as we close this time, and as we worship together in closing, God, I ask that you would place the call upon our life. Father, you have anointed us as people. God, I pray that if someone has not given their total life to you, Father, I pray that you would speak to them. Father, may they simply say, "I believe and I accept." Can we be like Isaiah and say that I am a person who needs Savior. And know that, God, we have all fallen short of your glory and that sin has been there, but God, we need your redemption today. And I pray that you will place your call upon the people of God. Anoint us today, Father, with a new set of vision, an opportunity to recognize your call in our life. We will thank you and we'll praise you. In your name, I ask you. Amen. Play that song, John. Thank you.
God, do what you please in the name of Jesus. In the people that are gathered, Father, that are watching, from the mountains and over every enemy, God, may we speak the holy name of Jesus. God, I pray that it will be on our lips, in our hearts, in our moves, in our mind, in our thinking, in our breathing, in our believing, in our walking, that the power of Jesus would be displayed in this place. God, let us lead in the power of your name. Oh God, the holy name of Jesus. Father, we speak it upon the people today. God, burn like a fire in your hearts and lives of those around us, God, that we may celebrate your goodness today. Change us, God. In this very moment, we give you thanks and praise. In your holy name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Go in his precious name.